T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Good morning, everybody. Hope you got through the first day of March Madness in good shape. Hope your brackets are still intact. Hope you're ready for another day of wall-to-wall hoops action. Shane Dennis on the other side of the aisle. Pretty good opening day. Not so much in that there were so many stunning surprises, because really at the end of the day, there weren't. But there were some really good games. Games got to the point where we kind of expected them to, but in different ways than maybe we expected them to. And all in all, I thought it was a really, really good first day of viewing. Ja Morant was absolutely incredible and as good as advertised. We had some other good individual stories as well. Pretty good opening day, even if you didn't have the stunning surprises and the type of earth-shaking surprises that people expect on the first day or two of the NCAA tournament.
Well, to me, there were three, and one of them was almost a colossal meltdown, and that was the Auburn-New Mexico State
game.
Right. Auburn led by 7 with a minute left. For those that didn't see it, it's almost hard to describe how that game ended. I guess you could start with Auburn shooting free throws. Let's see. I'm trying to walk it back. What was the score? 78-76, Auburn. And they were at the line with like 6 seconds left, shooting two with a guy shooting 84%. Mm-hmm. And sure enough, he missed the first one. It was maybe 77-76. And then he made the next one, so 78-77. Yeah. Or right. 78-76. Got it to within two. Auburn
yeah, exactly.
was ahead.
Hit one of the two, yep, and got it to within two.
Yeah. And so then A.J. Harris from New Mexico State looked like he had a rocket up his you-know-what, went end-to-end in no time at all, sped right by the guy that was guarding him, and right by a guy that came over to help, and in real time looked like he had a dead layup, and then he passed it. He whipped it out to the right wing to a guy for an open three to try to win it. And it was Terrell Brown. He missed but got fouled with 1.1 seconds left. So if you make three, you win. He was a 78% foul shooter. Mm-hmm. Made one and missed the last one. And the rebound went off of Auburn out of bounds with 1.1 left. So you got it back. You got another chance. After Auburn misses a free throw, your guy misses two out of three, but you got another chance. They had a pretty open three in the corner after a couple of
really good look.
Yeah,
I thought.
As good as you could hope for. Yep. And it was wide right, missed. New Mexico State loses 78-77. That was probably the potential biggest meltdown of the day, but at the same time, most entertaining, because those were two of the most high-volume three-point shooting teams in the country.
Yeah.
New Mexico State was ninth, and Auburn was third as far as hoisting up threes, and it went right down to the last 1.1 second.
Best games, in one man's opinion, the one you just mentioned, Auburn and New Mexico State. Fabulous game. Fun to watch. You mentioned the Aggies with two great chances late to win it, and Auburn really kind of melting down and making poor decisions at various times down the stretch. Started turning the ball over when they went. I think, Shane, they had like a 17-minute stretch where they didn't turn the ball over once, something like that. No, it was a 13-and-a-half-minute stretch. They didn't turn the ball over once, then turned it over like 8 times in the last 6.5 minutes.
Yeah, they led by 8 with 2:13 left. Then they committed 2 turnovers, 2 missed free throws, and New Mexico State made 2 threes. And just like that, boom, now we got a ball game again.
It was a ball game.
Yep.
The Maryland-Belmont game, as we thought would be a good game, was a great game. You and I both had Belmont in that one. Mm-hmm. And, God, Belmont. But, well, let me just say this. Belmont had the ball with a chance to win on the last possession. And
it was one of the most head-scratching turnovers maybe you'll ever see.
Really, well, he thought. I think he thought the kid was going to make the backdoor cut cleaner than he did, and it was one of those. All right, I'm going to make this pass. Oh no, I'm not. And he tried to like pull it back.
Yeah.
And then it ended up being a lame turnover. Belmont didn't even get a chance to. Didn't even get a chance to win it. The LSU Yale game was a good game in that. LSU needed four free throws in the last 15 seconds to close that game out.
They kept trading threes for free throws and almost caught up. Yep.
I mean, Yale really hung in that game and I think underscored what we talked about yesterday, that LSU was probably good enough to win this game, but they don't give you much faith as a three seed moving forward. And then I thought Wofford and Seton Hall fell into that category of best games on Thursday as well. Seton Hall did a really nice job counterpunching and getting back into this and actually leading in the second half. Then Wofford had, a 17 or 18-point run late to close the game. Fletcher McGee is as good as advertised, isn't he?
Yep.
Really quick trigger and gets his shot off square. He's a really good shooter, the all-time leading three-point shooter now in NCAA Division I history. But I'll tell you what, Shane, I thought Wofford looked the part.
Yeah.
Pretty good size. They defend pretty well. They really can shoot the ball. So anyway, I thought those were the four best games yesterday, just from a standpoint of watchability.
Yeah.
Then you had three really impressive games yesterday. I thought Minnesota, and we're going to talk with our friend Kyle Lindstedt here in just a minute. I thought Minnesota was very impressive, beating Louisville the way that they did. Really kind of manhandled them, and Louisville was really never in that game. Kansas, and
you were right about this one. I'll give you this one.
Thank you.
You were right about
this one. Appreciate it. Yep. I didn't see Northeastern. Now, look. I didn't think it was going to be a 34-point blowout, but I thought that Kansas would win comfortably. But easily, Murray State's dismantling of Marquette was, I thought, the most impressive thing that we saw yesterday. Mostly for Ja Morant, who we all knew was unbelievable. And if that was the first time that you've seen him, aren't you irritated that you've missed Murray State a few times during the year? Because this guy's been this kind of player all season long. I thought Murray State was incredible.
Yeah, we'll talk about him and Fletcher McGee in the next segment, but there was a really interesting question. I think they were playing Love It or Shove It on Golic and Wingo.
Right.
And I know it's what have you seen last that's at the very front of our brains, and we haven't seen Zion yet in this tournament. But who's going to make the better pro, Ja Morant or Zion Williamson?
Ooh,
Ja Morant is a – the numbers compare him to – Trae Young, kind of, because he scores a lot and assists a lot. But because he's such a skilled passer, you would think that game would translate a little bit better, as it is right this second, to the NBA than Zion Williamson, who doesn't really have much of a outside game, which he would probably need to have to be a great NBA player. Now, he's got freakish athletic skills, and so that's a great place to start, talking about Zion. But Ja Morant with a triple-double, which, by the way, is one of those prop bets we talked about yesterday, plus 500. If you took over 0.5 triple-doubles, you'd have made $500 if you'd have bet $100 that somebody would have had a triple-double. And Ja Morant did it into your March Madness. But, it'll be interesting to see and if you hadn't seen Ja Morant before yesterday, you get at least one more chance to see him because they, like you said, they looked the part. KU absolutely destroyed Northeastern, held them to 6 of 28 from 3, 28% overall from the floor. This looked every bit the and KU being a 4 versus a 13. This looked every bit of a 215-116 matchup. KU toyed with
them. I thought Northeastern was look. Kansas played well. Northeastern facilitated it. That's not a very good basketball team. They were very overmatched in this game, and people were. I mean, and look, I know that statistically you have to have metrics to look at, and statistically you looked at these guys and said, okay, they've got three or four guys that can shoot a high percentage from 3-point range, and maybe if they get that going, this becomes interesting. But then you got to kind of stop and look at who they've done it against. I just thought that they were, from the second they stepped in the pool, they were in over their heads against Kansas. I mean, even when Kansas didn't get off to a particularly good start, and Bill Self had to call the timeout and get them going early and stuff. Kansas was just on a different level than Northeastern.
Yeah.
Does it signal Kansas, playing at a higher level in this tournament? I don't think you can make that jump because they haven't been that type of team all season long.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and I think that's what KU fans want to latch on to. It's like, hey, we're back. Hey, maybe we're not.
This is a game to game. This is a game to game team.
That was just a 40-minute snapshot. Was all that was.
Yeah, and I think so. Yeah.
But they did get a really good game from Devon Dotson. They got exactly what they know they're going to get from Dedrick Lawson. Didn't get anything from David McCormick, our guy.
Nothing.
He got 5 rebounds, but that was about it. He only played 11 minutes. So you just move on. Now you're playing Auburn. Who's nothing like Northeastern, unless you say that they shoot threes too, but their athleticism and their speed and all that, everything was on display against New Mexico State. So that gave KU fans kind of a preview of what to look for tomorrow in Auburn. And one, I gave you props about KU and Northeastern, but we were both wrong about Bradley and Michigan State.
Yeah, we were.
They would not go away.
No.
And for as many people, myself included, that has Michigan State going to the freaking Final Four, I had to worry about whether Bradley was going to beat them or not, of all things.
Yeah.
A 15 in Bradley. It was an 11-point final, but it absolutely was in no way, shape, or form an 11-point game.
No, it sure wasn't.
And I got to say, good on you, Bradley Braves and Missouri Valley and whoever else wants to take a bow for this, because they scared the you-know-what out of Michigan State and everybody else that had the Spartans in their Final Four and their brackets. And I got to say, I wasn't watching that game per se because I was pretty much bared down on the KU game and wanted to see if by some miracle down the stretch something crazy would happen or some storyline would emerge, which, of course, it didn't. They just took them apart brick by brick. And I'm looking up in the corner, looking at the ticker, the score, and I'll be damned if it wasn't just a 2-point, 1-point game for about, 35 minutes of that game?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. In fact, I kept trying to turn away from it to watch other games and kept coming back to it because Bradley was having an out-of-body experience.
Totally. And it lasted longer than that, too. It wasn't just like they made him nervous for a half.
No, it was most of the game.
It was
most of the game. We had 4-4-4 in our no chance long shots upset possibilities in anybody's game. I missed on Bradley and Michigan State because that was a chance for Bradley. Abilene Christian, Farley Dickinson, Montana, not so much.
Yep.
Long shots with a shot, Yale, Vermont, Northeastern, Old Dominion, missed on Northeastern. But kind of were
in the neighborhood
game with Yale and Vermont and maybe a little bit with Old Dominion, who made a run against Purdue. Upset possibilities, I thought, was a really strong category for us. We had New Mexico State, Belmont, Murray State, and St. Mary's. All four of them were in a position.
Yeah.
All four of them were in a position to win a game. And then we had four in anybody's game. And really, I missed on Minnesota, Louisville, liked Minnesota, picked Minnesota, But they ended up really kind of controlling that game. The other ones were pretty much as we expected. So I thought it was a damn good day for a lack of most fans, casual fans, want the big upsets.
Yeah.
In the absence of that, Shane, I thought we had really good basketball to watch. Really good basketball.
And so, one that I watched almost start to finish was Florida-Nevada.
Mm-hmm.
And this, unfortunately, for those that like the little guy, I'm just cherry-picking this here, obviously, and I'm not meaning to start a fire, but for those that like the little guy, they won't want to have watched the Florida-Nevada game. Florida goes into that game with how many losses? 14?
14 or 15.
And took control of that game tenuously in the first half, but pulled away to lead, what, by 9? They got the lead up to 18, and then Nevada, as they've been famous for, comes storming back, made it a game at the end, and Florida ends up winning. This is a 15-loss SEC school playing a, especially last year, a media darling, a, you know, a David Goliath type, you know, that this is the kind of guys that that phrase was coined for. And Nevada, not only do they not make a deep run this year under Eric Musselman out of the Mountain West, they get beat in the first round against a middle-of-the-pack SEC school in a game that, and I know it was just 40 minutes, but Florida was really only threatened 6 or 8 minutes of the game.
And I got to be honest with you, Shane. This is one I missed yesterday. But Nevada irritated me watching them. And I don't know if it's because I'm not an Eric Musselman fan. And but Nevada, to me, was, in the first 20 minutes, can you just play simple basketball? Does everything have to be kind of a backdoor lob or a difficult pass? Mm-hmm. Or, I mean, Nevada is the kind of team that wants to look, I think they like to style. Does that make any sense?
Yeah.
They want to style on you a little bit. I mean, they don't.
I want to say it not was only do they Reggie beat Miller you, was the third analyst. I think it was Reggie Miller. Mm-hmm. He said the same thing. Like, I don't know if you're not listening to the volume, but he's like, slow down, Nevada.
No.
Slow down. This was 7 minutes into the game, and it was like some combination of frantic, panic, and blacktop basketball. It was like, slow down and stop with the stuff you're talking about, the one-handed passes and the alley-oops and the – you got
– one-handed passes were another thing.
You got plenty
right.
of game left, and I don't know if they kind of felt – there was no excuse if they felt this way, but feel like, okay, Florida is a walk-it-up, first team to 70. We're not going to play a bunch of possessions with you, and we're not going to let you get out and – go freelance and go free-flowing offense. But my God, they felt the heat within the first 6 minutes of the game when it was still close. And to your point, Reggie Miller was like, Eric Musselman's got to get these guys to slow down. And they really never did. And then when you find yourself down 18 in an NCAA tournament game, there's no way in hell you're going to come back and win a game when you're down 18. There's just too many forces working against you. And, irritated watching Nevada. I can see that.
Very much so. Thank you. Thank you. I'm glad I'm not out of school saying that. And they're a team that is talented, but boy, and I know that they fought back a little bit, and I give them credit for that.
Wasn't it Texas last year that they had that huge comeback and ended up winning, I think, a year ago?
Right. Yes.
So they're known for that,
exactly.
but don't put
yourself.
They're
known for that, but boy, they were not a. If you followed Nevada this season, they ended up losing 5 games, and really, maybe should have lost 2. They were not a team that handled getting punched in the mouth very well, and I just thought that all of the Now, look, we're talking about a team that was like, what, 29-5 or whatever, yeah, whatever they ended up being. So, I mean, so this isn't probably a little bit of an unfair criticism. I don't know. I just wasn't very impressed with Nevada yesterday, and shame on me, I picked them.
Well, it got them burnt.
You know what? Good, nice job, Florida.
Yep.
Yep.
So
maybe I'm whining a little bit.
Coming up next, we'll let people know what's on tap, courtesy of Side Pockets out of the corner of Kellogg and Tyler, where we got the lunch special today, Friday. Let's see here.
Unique burger,
specialty burger. There you go.
Build one yourself.
Yeah, specialty burger with fries, $6.50. That's right. Yeah, good call. Or quarter pound hamburger or cheeseburger with fries for $5.95. Or you can go to the specialty burger. Kyle Linstead coming up at 10 o'clock. So that's 40 minutes from now. Minnesota assistant coach. They're moving on. Also, we'll talk about Ja Morant and Fletcher McGee, the two historical days that they had yesterday. On this day in sports history, coming up later on in the second hour. And we'll check some of those props, because in addition to the triple-double, there were a couple of other ones that got approached, the prop bets that Bruce and I were talking about in March Madness. On day one of the tournament, we'll talk historical perspectives of Fletcher McGee and Ja Morant, the NCAA tournament in action yesterday, and look ahead, of course, to today as Sports Daily continues.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.